Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
That's Muzima Adlala in the background there with Sim Dumise on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And after that, right before him was a wonderful discussion on the from the Department of Justice there, talking about gender-based violence. I hope that you have learned a lot and you're not going to keep quiet about your abuse and somebody that you know's abuse. If possible, do encourage them to report their abuses. I know that in most cases, the abused tend to like turn a blind eye on that one, thinking that the abusers might change, but do prayerfully advise them to report such. And yes, because sometimes they are not just abused physically, they're abused emotionally, to the extent that the abuser has done a great work or an evil work with regard to making sure that the abuse depends a lot on them, to the extent that they feel like they can do absolutely nothing without their abuser there. So it's quite a challenge for them to get out of such situations. It affects them in all areas of their lives, so I put that way, psychologically, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and all that. So they really need your support as much as possible. Well, it's 10 after 7 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. It's that time again where we get to talk to somebody from the Global Business Roundtable. And on the line, we are honored to have Mehlengiwe Ntombela. Mehlengiwe.
Hi, Baba.
Kunjani, ma'am.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. You know what I like to do?
What do you like to do?
More especially when I'm speaking to Zulu, speaking people. I like their stagazelos a lot. Unfortunately, today, I didn't really do my homework that well. I didn't research your stagazelo.
But you can't not know. We are the most important clan in the Zulu culture.
I know. How so though? You know, you're saying it's not that
we
well.
Because we were cousins with Zulu. Before Zulu, Zulu is our little brother. Ntombela is the older one. Yeah.
So you are from Ubukhosi, Nivel?
Oh, very much. Very, very, very much.
Okay, slalele, yes. It's one. Sichazele kabanzi, sithakazelo zenu, okay?
Okay. Oh, mashobo, oh, mpangazitha, oh, dlubula, oh, malandela.
Kubeke
is one. Kubeke.
Okay, if you think that's how far you can go, then it's fine. I'm not surprised. So anyway, umZulu wase location. So
I know my roots there and there.
You know, one thing I love about Zulu is their stagazela. They know themselves. Oh, I'm like, hey.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am, for speaking with us right here at Radio Pulpit. We are honored to be speaking to somebody from the royalty, royal house.
Yeah. I'm honored and I'm so happy to be speaking with you too.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Mehlengiwe Ntombela. Who's Mehlengiwe? Where were you born? Yeah.
I'm Shay. I'm a born-again child of God, born and raised, born in Kwaga, KwaNdebele, and raised in Newcastle. Born in the church. My father was a pastor and was in ministry like long before I was even born. So I was born in the church. I know the church back to back. I know the politics. I know the great things about it. I know the bad things about it. I know everything that has to do with church. And eventually, I developed a personal relationship with Jesus myself and managed to find myself in a calling at the age of, initially, I knew about the calling at age 16, but only was able to pursue the calling and realize what the calling actually was at age 21. How much further can I go? I think, that's about, I studied interior design. Before I got caught, I was studying interior design and enjoying it, thinking that that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, only to find that that is not what the Almighty God has intended and planned and predestined for me. So he let me know a few months before my graduation, my exhibition, that this is not what I want you to do. And so I got scared. Long story short, a year and a half later, I started doing a new course at Howard College, studied jazz. Yeah.
You studied jazz music?
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
Fantastic. So in a nutshell, you are a pastor's child through and through.
Full on, through and through. There's no ways about it. And not the rebellious one.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that question because you sound like, well,
now
you're not the rebellious one. You never rebelled, so you must be, hey, daddy, the daddy must be proud of you there. Is he listening?
I don't think he is. He's a very busy man. If he's not writing a book, he's going to preach somewhere. He's a very busy man. Wow. I doubt he's even got the time to listen.
No, you are a blessing indeed. And I think that a lot of pastor's children can learn a thing or two from you, that you don't have to be rebellious, you know. You are a pastor's child, you know. Be submissive, be obedient, and you'll be blessed. Are you still there? All right.
Hello. Oh, there you are. Oh, I'm talking to myself now.
No. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm listening attentively. So, you talked a little. You talked about something that is very close to my heart. Although I'm not, I haven't been following jazz music as such. And I think it goes with age. So as I grow older, I'm starting to develop some love for jazz music. Why did you decide to choose jazz music?
I think because I wanted to, the whole reason why, the thing about me is that when I'm interested in something and when I'm passionate about something, just like I was in interior design, I knew that I was good at making homes beautiful, but I felt like out of the respect of it, I have to go further and study fully what interior design is. Likewise, I felt like even though I've been in the music industry for a while at that time, and I've been already in the music and practicing and know a lot already, I still felt like I need to put respect to the actual genre and go and study it in the best places where it started. And it didn't start in classical. It didn't start in anything else. It started in Negro music and jazz, you know. So I needed to study that from the root of it and where it came from and all of that. So that's why I thought I needed to do jazz, because the history of it is very rich and I can relate better to it than, as opposed to classical. Although we did classical as well, but I still was fully majored in jazz.
Will I be right in thinking that when you know jazz music, then it's very easy for you to know other genres? So if you play jazz music.
Definitely. That's very true. A lot of... I won't say genres, but a lot of other musics that are with age, like classical music, come from and are inspired by jazz, you know. And the jazz is the deeper and richer form of music. So I would agree with that statement, yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if I hear a little bit of jazz in your gospel, albums. Am I right?
You might. I didn't put much in this because at the end of the day, I did grow up in the church, so there was still a lot of church inspiration on it, and a lot of people before I went to study jazz already knew me as a church girl more than a jazz singer. So I still was more inspired by church, but a lot of musicality was definitely involved in the album. You know, a lot of musicality and being precise about stuff. Those are things that most of the people, in fact, that were in the team to make this happen went to the same school as me and also studied jazz. So they understood the concept of musicality and how we want to translate that into the album.
I know many would say that, you know, with regard to gospel music, it transcends to all the genres. They can play gospel, jazz gospel, kwaito gospel, and the like. So who was your favorite jazz artist when you were growing up? The person that really made you to go and study jazz?
I actually did not like jazz growing up. It was my mother that forced us to listen to jazz. And when she made us listen to jazz, it was a lot of African jazz, which I did love. I did love Babu Hugh. I love Oliver Mtukudzi. I loved, there's another one. Oh, Jonas Ngwangwa, you know, he made us listen to a lot of jazz, deep African jazz. And when I got to school, I didn't like the deep ones from America. I realized while I was studying that actually this is a very good jazz, you know, the deep one that is from America, Nina Simone, Sarah Vaughan, you know, those ones. I learned them in school. But I've always loved Babu Hugh for lots of reasons, not just because he was from South Africa. I love.
Hello? Hlengiwe. It looks like we lost Hlengiwe there. We're talking to Hlengiwe and Ntombela, who is a businesswoman. She's focusing more on music. She's got also her own music studio production house there. She's a songwriter, she's a businesswoman, like I said, and she owns an independent recording label. Hlengiwe, are you back? Well, it looks like we lost her there. We'll try to get hold of her one more time. Hopefully, we'll be able to become successful. And, well, she's talking, telling us more about her background, her music background. She'll be telling us about the challenges that most women experiencing, more especially in this industry, that is the music industry. And you'll be surprised to also know that even in the gospel music genre, there are challenges that women are facing. And hopefully, now that she owns her own recording company, she can be able to assist women and in order for them to become successful. So she'll tell us more about those things. Are you back? Are you back, ma'am?
What happened? Where did you go?
I don't know. You decided not to talk to me, eh?
I'm busy talking and then you're gone and I'm checking my network. My network is full.
Yeah, it was
I'm
your
like,
network.
What happened?
It was your network. You're driving, right?
Yes, I am. But my network is full and I'm
We just went past a big tree. That's why you lost the network.
I apologize.
Let's quickly go straight to the challenges that women are facing, more especially in the music industry. If you can share that information with us, because many think that you know, it's all rosy there. There are no challenges, more especially when you are doing gospel music. Are there any challenges?
As a woman or generally?
As a woman.
I think generally a bit, and also as a woman, there's a preconception that women are not able to articulate what they want. They're not able to say what they want. And as a result, women do get lazy sometimes to be able to stand firm and say, this is what I want, this is how I want it, and share their opinion and rather their vision as is in their heart. So I think that's the first thing that I feel like women really struggle or rather are really not expected to be able to do. I think also the other struggle is when you are independent and you do something for yourself, it becomes really hard to penetrate into certain places because the industry is held by certain people. You know, certain people control it, not control, but have influence over it. So it's hard really to penetrate in certain places unless you are able to work hard and make your mark. You just have to always work an extra step. I think it's the same in actually every workplace with women. We have to just work extra hard to prove ourselves beyond a reasonable doubt that we are actually worthy of doing a certain particular part or role and being respected as such. So yeah, I think in a nutshell, I think those are one of the biggest challenges that women might have.
Let's talk about the issue of understanding the contract before they can sign. I know that many artists are going the independent way. They are owning their own masters, etc. And you might be one of those people that have taken that route there. How important is for them to understand the contract before? Because most of them, they might be just, you know, happy to be seen on the television. The next thing, they have signed themselves. I mean, it's like they have signed their lives away. So they can't really enjoy the works of their hands because a big chunk of their money goes to the recording labels, whereas they are left with absolutely nothing. And that's why some of them end up dying poor past there.
Yeah. I think the first and most important thing that every person and woman has to do first is to figure out that before I go on television, what is it that I want to do on that platform with that kind of traction? What is it that I want to do? Is it to, what message do I want to put across? So have a clear vision as to what it is that you want to do with you being on that platform of being either on a stage or on TV or on a record. What is it that you want to portray? What is it that you want people to know and hear and be sure of about you? After that, whatever record label that wants to sign you or that you want to be signed under, check if they can relate and understand what it is that you want to do, whatever vision that you have for yourself and for your ministry or your artistry, whatever it is that you want to do, do they agree with it? Are they able to execute it? Are they able to make it happen? Or, and is it in your favor as well, as well as their favor as well? Do all parties get a fair chance? Then on top of that, can you go into legalities now? Is it legally binding into certain things, the things that they say that I'm not allowed to do? Am I really not able to do them? Or is it, you know? So I think it's just things like that that people take lightly, and they hear advance or they hear, I'll pay for this and I'll pay for that. Don't worry, you just rock up, not realizing that they're literally selling their life away. Because if you're not able to have a say, then you're not an artist. You can't say you're an artist if you don't have a say in what you're doing. You're literally a puppet. So if you know that you're able to still be an artist and execute what you want to do and still be signed into that record label, then you can sign that. With confidence, you can sign that. So I think that's what's important. I hope it makes sense.
It does. It does. And one would be expecting somebody like you to be, you know, wet behind the ear, so to speak. But you are so knowledgeable about these things. You have never been banned before. And here you are. You know all these things. And you already started your own recording label. Where did you get such information? Yeah. Because many got banned before they can make such, you know, wise decisions, more especially in their music careers.
Well, I think the character that I have, I've always been a scrutinizer. I scrutinize everything. I think of it carefully. I have to, generally, that's just who I am. Even in high school, I used to ask my biology teacher how that makes sense. Because when I chew, that's not what happens when I chew. But your textbook says this, you know. So I just scrutinize and I question. So I have had a lot of people, a lot of record companies try to approach me to sign certain contracts. But because I knew what I wanted to do, firstly. Secondly, I was in no rush to do it. It was not time to. And having them not understand certain things about how I am led by the Holy Spirit and how I do things in this way made me squeamish as to, okay, this is not right. So just to make it a long story short, it's just important to always read and make that contract go to as many people as you can find that you trust to feel and see if they agree with it. By people, I mean lawyers. To see if they agree with it, to see if it makes sense, to see if they feel it is beneficial to you to do that. And, yeah, just to read and to also be certain that you're comfortable with it in the long run. I think that's what helped me a lot, to just make sure that I'm a scrutinizer. So I scrutinize everything and I just make sure of everything. And a little bit of procrastination might have helped me as well. Mm. But to push to make me open up a business like this, it was not really to take in more artists. It was just so that I know that I'm doing it myself. I'll take it upon myself. I did everything myself, paid for my show myself, paid for everything myself so that I can make sure that I have full authority over this and full say over this, because I understand what I want to do with this product that I'm pushing.
Does What's the name sense? Of your record label?
It's Waiko.
What? Okay, Waiko?
Yes, your kingdom on earth. It's Y-K-O-E.
Y-K-O-E.
P-T-Y-L-T-B.
Okay. And for how many years has it been in existence?
Since I started being an artist, which is now.
Oh, okay. It's a newborn baby.
Yeah, Yes.
So you don't have any artists signed under you as yet?
I'll take time to do that because I also don't want to be rushed to do something. I want to make sure that if I do this, I need to know exactly how I do it so that they are benefited well and I know how to make them, make them feel comfortable. Because first I need to experiment with myself, do all the mistakes with myself so that by the time I'm able to have them on board, they're able to, you know, understand and I'm able to understand them, vice versa, just so that we're having a good relationship, working relationship. I don't want to be a person who exploits people. I've been an artist before, so I don't want to do that to another artist.
How long do you think they should wait for you to be able to start, you know, operating, you know, fully fledged studio that is being owned by a woman? Probably it might be the first ever, you know, studio to be owned by a woman, or a good label to be owned by a woman. Maybe, who knows?
I think it could be soon, it could be later, but I think it will definitely be right on time.
Okay.
Yeah, it will be right on time. It won't be too late, it won't be too early. It'll be right on time, and it'll be perfectly
you're still praying and waiting for the word.
Yes, and I'm still trying to make it right. Amen. You know, we're still trying to make it. Yeah, we have to. We can't just do things because they're a good idea. We have to do things because we're informed, we're equipped, and we're able to. We can't experiment with people's dreams and experiment with people's lives and experiment with people's craft. I think I've learned the importance of someone's craft, what it means to them. Writing a song is just not another thing. It's a very important thing to an artist. So being able to make them feel the pride and having their craft executed well is very important to them. So I want to first adopt that and understand that as an artist for myself and then be able to do that to them and for them as well.
Before we part ways, Slengue, who else did you partner with in music? Who did you collaborate with? I can see here that you did something with Bishop Benjamin Dube, right?
Oh, yeah, I did. I've worked with a lot of people before I did anything of myself. I thought that was important because then I'm able to learn, and I used it as a school for me to learn what to do and what not to do, but also just to learn how to do things right. So I worked with Bishop Benjamin Dube, with Dr. Dumi, Judith Sapuma, the Mbatas, Dobozo, and Mubego Mbata, Kaya Mtetwa, Joy Celebration, of course. And Israel Houghton. So all of that so that I just make sure that by the time I'm able to record, I do it at least to the best of my ability and with knowledge towards it.
Wow. Thank you very much for your time, and of course I hope that you avail yourself on social media. Just told me that you are not actually active on Facebook, and otherwise people will be able to go there and talk to you directly and ask, you know, for some advice in terms of what is that they need to do if they want to really start singing, you know, considering it as a career of some sort. So unfortunately you are not there. So I don't know where else are you for the people can be able to get hold of. But don't worry, Jose will take their calls and So
I think because I've also got I am on social media, just not Facebook, but I am on Twitter. I think if you see that, because we've got a release coming out soon next week, we're actually releasing the album, and so we are posting a lot of things about the album, and we've got the special coming up this Saturday on One Gospel. So, yeah, I think people must just gravitate more towards Instagram and Twitter. A lot of things are there about share and stuff.
Yeah. What's your Twitter handle quickly? I hope you're not going to tell me about the underscore and all this.
No, I can't stand all those things. At 91643 share. No, that's not me. I can't do that. I won't remember that myself.
Yes.
It's Share Live, that's all it is.
Share Live.
Live. Yes. LIVE. Live.
Dot what?
That is all.
Share Live. That's your Twitter handle. Oh, okay.
That's Twitter and Instagram. And then on my website is sharelive.com.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The website.
Okay.
Ma'am, people can go on the website.
Thank you very much for your time. It was great speaking with you, eh?
It was really nerve-wracking, but great speaking with you too.
I mean, you know, with women, it comes natural, you know. Yeah, you're natural speakers. Not especially during Women's
Month.
Are
you saying we talk a lot?
Not really, but it comes natural, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
sure.
So you're good at it. Keep it up, eh? You didn't disappoint. Thank you, thank you. That's Lingwe Ntombela there. For more information about her and what she does, simply go to contact Jose 011-242-8012. That's Jose's number there. 011-242-8012 right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM. 657 AM.